Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify your name once again. Father God, there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you for sending us your Son. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we have power that is supernatural from you. In the name of Jesus. Now, as we pray to God in this lesson on tonight, we are praying your blessings. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for Word Wednesday. We thank you that your Word will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. You said you sent your Word that it may be healed and save them from the destruction. So we believe by faith that the Word of God is rich, the Word of God has no sorrow, that the Word that we're going to see is your Lord's Word. Give us rhema, give us revelation, give us understanding, give us clarity, give us the knowledge and wisdom through your Word on tonight. I thank you for the spirit of humility, God. Let me decrease while you increase in this moment, in the name of Jesus. So God, bless those who are here, bless those who are viewing, bless those who will see the recording. In the name of Jesus, destroy and break every yoke. Hallelujah. Every plan of the enemy, tear it down, God. In the name of Jesus, cancel every assignment of the Antichrist off of the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus. And we'll give you praise, we'll give you glory, we'll give you honor the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're excited tonight, amen, about the Word of God, about to come forth, we believe, amen, in the Bible study, we believe. The Bible says, study, show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So I thank God for the opportunity to learn God's Word in the name of Jesus. Let's go right to two foundational scriptures I want to jump into tonight, and then we're going to go to the two of the main scriptures that I want to really talk from tonight. But these two, we shared from one on Sunday, and we're going to go to the second, looking at the woman at the well. We'll go to John 4 secondly. But first, go to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11, and we'll discuss, as I continue to talk, we'll discuss what the topic is tonight. In the name of Jesus. But let us see these two scriptures, and then we're going to, amen, discuss what we're going to share on tonight. But Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. Thank you, Father. Looking at verse number 15. Mark 11, verse number 15. To God be the glory. It says in Mark 11, 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. He went into the church. And he began to cast them out that sold and bought into the temple or the church. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any should carry any vessel through the temple. Say amen to that. And look at verse number 27 and 28. And they come again into Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple and the church, there come to him the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And they said unto him, by what authority do thou these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?
things. Amen. Hallelujah.
Good to see everyone this evening.
We're going to go over here quickly to John 4, looking at the woman at the well. Because tonight we're talking simply about the power of worship.
Amen.
The power of worship. I know as a pilot and as a man of God, I often talk about the power of prayer. I know we have a prayer line every Tuesday night, and we sing the power of prayer because prayer works. That's why he says pray without ceasing. My people will call by my name, they will humble themselves and pray. Amen, somebody. To him one always to pray. Mark chapter number 6, Matthew chapter number 6, it talks about when we pray. So there's a great commandment and a great expectation from Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit for us followers of Jesus to pray. And there is power in prayer. And we recognize Jesus as the life of Jerusalem and the life of Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, we're not going to go there, but we see the power of praise in that story. It says they had an enemy, a massive army ready to come against them. And they began to praise God, they began to honor God, they began to just worship God. And it says he began to ambush the enemy, he began to deal with the enemy. So we know that there's power in praise, that there is power in prayer. But sometimes we overlook this very important topic of worship. I thank God in our church we are worshipers. I thank God for new creation. We have an atmosphere of worship. And as a leader, as a pastor, my hands are lifted every Sunday. Glory be to God for my life of preaching. Testimony for coming forward. You have to see how I have to lift up holy hands. Worship in my spirit, we pray, because I'm not ashamed to worship my God. I'm not ashamed to hear the man, the mayor, the governor, the president is coming. Glory be to God. We got to lift our hands, we got to honor God. We got to say hallelujah in spite of what we're going through. We got to say, Lord, we love you in spite of the pain in our lives. We got to worship God, because something happens when we worship. Something happens when we worship. And we're going to look at a few things that happen when we worship. Amen, somebody, tonight. But it says, church, it says that the priests and the scribes and the elders, the ones that should have been guarding the church, the ones that should have kept things in order. Amen, somebody. The ones that guarded his stewardship and management to run his house well. It says Jesus cleaned the church out. He turned over the money changers' table. And they asked about what authority do you do these things? And I guess Jesus said within his reason, you're the pastor, you're the elder, you're the scribe, you're the leaders of our church. It shouldn't have gotten to this point. Amen, somebody. And you would have to also worship in other words, God. And we looked at Hannah on Sunday and we talked about the favor of God being all of our lives. I didn't get it to it because that was not the word of the day. But Eli the priest had said to Hannah, go, allow your mountains not to be sad any longer. May the God grant me your petition. She wants to have a baby. Long story short, she had Samuel. Her womb was barren. God opened up her womb, not just Samuel, but she had more babies. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. Our God will give us more than what we can handle. Our God will leave us speechless. Our God will promise that the word will be a God. Our God will blow our minds. That's why we got to stay in position. We got to stay in the position of worship. Because we're in a war, so we're in a warfare, and we're living in a warfare, come on somebody, we fight not against flesh and blood, but when you're living in a warfare, when you're in a warfare, and you go after the things of God, you got to become a worshiper. And when you're in the church, our job as pastors and shepherds and under-shepherds is to teach you the importance of worship. That's what we're talking about, the power of worship on tonight. Jesus said, this will be a house of worship. Not to sell stuff, not to defile the temple of God, but a house of worship. Amen. Now look at John chapter 4. Because Eli, His son promptly offended about the temple of God, God generally Levi, because the ark and the covenant of God was stolen by the Philistines. And Eli fell back out of his seat, he broke his neck, and he died, because God was not happy the way he dealt with his sons. His sons were filled with the lambs and the doves and sacrifices. They were defiling the women that just came to worship. And the Bible says that Eli did not chasten, amen, the pastors and the priests. He did not get with his sons and made them obey God. And God dealt with Eli in the life of Hannah, way back when we looked at Hannah. But we see, as we look at the woman at the well, yes, God gave her living water. We talked about it on Sunday. God gave her living water to bring it up. And the husband, the person that she was living with, I don't know if she married him or not, but once you get this living water, come on. Once you get this living water of God, the things that you do afterward is BC before Christ, and then it's AC after Christ. My parents did not work for it with God before I knew Jesus, but I thank God that there's an energy in God. Hallelujah, thank you, God. 22 years married is not me and Jesus. Amen. When you lean on him and do it right, and trust his word, and put it in his chest, and apply the principles of our faith, God will honor you as you honor him. But listen to the conversation. I didn't mean this on Sunday, but listen to some of the conversations with the woman at the well that he had, starting in John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. Again, these are the foundation scriptures. Number one, Mark chapter number 11, Jesus turned over money and changed his table because he had made his church a flea market. Now we're going to look at the worship, the cost of worship. How are we supposed to approach God? How are we supposed to honor him in the name of our worship? How is he looking at us Christians today and believers today? What does God expect from us as worshipers? Amen. And he has a conversation with the Samaritan woman way before, watch this. This is what we got from the Bible. This is what we got to understand the word of God. Way before, God sent Paul to the Gentile to give them the blessings that only the Jews were entitled to. Grace already started coming to the Gentile. Grace was already extended towards the Samaritans and towards some unbelievers who was not Jews. Amen. And we see Jesus started the grace towards the Gentiles way before Paul began to make the things available and the blessings available to everybody that believes, not just to the Jews. Amen. But John chapter number 4 says this, verse number 20. I didn't think it's foundation about worship, and then we're going to get into it. Amen. Verse number 20 says, our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem, that is the place where men are to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour will come when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Verse number 23. But the hour, that's the hour of which we're living. Come on, somebody. But the hour will come, and now it is. I said it's right now. When the true worshipers, sexual worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in truth. We can't be faulty when we worship God. We can't be fake when we worship God. We can fool one another, but God is not fooled by phony worship. God is looking at the heart. So worship has to come from our heart. It got to come from a sincere place in our heart. I'm still replacing my life, and God has been around to take over 25 years. But God bless our planet, the people watching this should see that God bless us, glory be to God. We got to know that we got to worship God outside of the atmosphere of church. Thank God for musicians, thank God for usher us in to worship, but we come to the temple to learn how to worship. I can worship him in my heart. I can worship him when I'm in my shower. When I'm bathing and drinking my coffee, getting ready for my birthday, I can worship God and thank him for who sees me. Thank God for who brought me in, for my friends are falling and failing and depressed. Something I can, something is shameful. I don't want to make no condemnation and those of us who are in Christ. Because I worship, and sometimes we worship with God, not just tears of sadness, but sometimes tears of joy, or of love and being happy. But when I worship God, he does something supernatural. There's power and worship, glory be to God. Because somebody told me to worship God, so I'm fine, even when I was sick and hospitalized. Could not get out of bed, I could not physically walk, but I threw the power of worship on somebody. I worship him for my season. I see my child is laid in the room every day, and they throw a Bible on my bed. They throw a worshiper. They throw a believer. Come on, somebody. We live in the shade of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm here now. I'm set free now. I'm delivered now. And I'm a worshiper in pain. I'm a worshiper when it was going bad. I'm a worshiper. I heard the testimony once. I heard the testimony in the church that when you were coming through, you worshiped. And then you won. When you were coming through, yes, yeah, you didn't cry. Yes, it hurt. Yes, you didn't like what you were walking through. But when you didn't worship, the power came on you, baby. All the glory to God. And you started worshiping. And that's the true worship that he's seeking at this hour. To worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Glory be to God. And that was the modern way back. Way back, we're going to go back to 48 from there right now. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Every time I go here, and sometimes I go here to my personal devotion. Amen, everybody. Pastor, I think I'm so hopeful when I go here, Deuteronomy 8. Don't die in front of us. It's all about the right here, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it reminds me of all the book, which I have in my briefcase, my table of work. Glory to God. Because we need to know it's always too soon to quit.
Yeah.
I said never give up on God because God has not given up on us. And that's what he's trying to say as he looks at the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here it is, let me just set up the scene for you tonight. They're in slavery. Pharaoh is a taskmaster. They're in slavery. They can't go to church. They can't worship God freely. They can't honor their God. And God sees what's going on. God wants a relationship with us. God misses us if we don't come to church. God misses us if we don't come to the house and worship him. God misses the fellowship between us and God the Father through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he sent the people of God worshiping him. Then he sent Pharaoh 10 plagues when he said, you must let my people go. Because before that happened, Pharaoh sent them into the wilderness to worship God, just for a temporary situation. And then God said, no, finally, I'm going to set you free so you can come in the wilderness to worship me. Freely worship me. And as I read, you're going to see more of what I'm talking about. But God is going to be free to worship him. And he's going to be on that path to be in bondage to anything. No relationship, no job, no career, no call. He does not want anything or anyone to get in the way of our worship. Amen. And I thank God that he thinks that that the power of worship is that important to him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day, you shall observe them to do them, and you may live and multiply and grow and possess the land which the Lord swore to your father to give you. He talked about the promised land in verse number 8. They're on their way to the promised land, but first they got to get through the wilderness. Verse number 2. And you shall remember the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. This is the reason why we have them in the wilderness. Number one, to humble them. Number two, to probe or to test them. Number three, that they may know what is in their hearts, whether they would keep the commandments or not. Verse number three, and he humbled them, suffered them to hunger, and he fed them with manna that they did not know. Neither did their fathers know, that he might make thee known that no man that live by bread alone. Come on, somebody. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I can preach that the rest of the night. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why money is never sufficient for the life of a believer. That's why no matter how much worldly success we obtain, we need a word. Doesn't matter what our food to eat, it doesn't matter what our work to drink. He said that's not enough for us to live off of. We need spiritual food. Come on, somebody. I need spiritual food. There is a spiritual part of us. We are in a body. That man provided me food. That man provided me natural food. We are a body, but we have a spirit. And the spirit don't need natural food. Maybe that's somebody. The spirit don't need bread and water and dessert and meat and chicken and juices. The spirit don't need the natural thing of this world. And if we have a soul, come on, we are pushing before the mind, the will, and our emotions. Right now, the soul is my mind, the way I think, my thoughts, my understanding. Many of us are having wrong thinking, and that's what we cover up wrong. Glory to God. And God is saying, change the way that you think. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we're talking about the answer to that. Change the way that you think. He said, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, that's why I put you out there to humble you, to test you, and to show you what's in your heart. Because the church is journeying towards the promised land. Let me just give you a little more and I'll make my points. Number four, I'm going to get back to not living by the rest of the book. Look at number four. The raiment, your raiment and your clothes wax not old upon you. Neither did your foot swell. They did not have a hot heated sun, and their feet did not swell up. They did not get blisters. Neither 40 years. You shall consider in your heart that the man, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chases his son or disciplines his son, so the Lord God will discipline or chasten you. Therefore, you shall keep the commands of the Lord and walk in his way. I'll begin to verse number 9, but I can show you what the promised land possesses and what some of your promises that God is going to give you possess. Come on, somebody. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Say good land. A land of brooks, here comes the stuff that they headed for. A land of brooks of water, fresh, clean, quick water, fountains of best rain, springing out of the valleys and the hills. This is the best water on the earth. Number 8, a land of wheat, there's going to be bread, a land of barley and vine, the grapes, the fruits, the fig trees in there, the pomegranate, all kinds of fruits and vegetables, a land of oil, olive oil, amen, somebody. You know olive oil, the oil that heals, the oil that anoints. There's honey in the land, there's twigs in the land. the land. Verse number 9, a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarcity. It's not going to run out of food. Amen, somebody. There's not going to be any lack in the life of a believer. Glory be to God, who stole our island and out of the hills, they made it bread. Glory be to my God. Oh, hallelujah. It says, I'm talking about the power of worship tonight. But in the middle of worship, yes, I'm bringing you out here to test you, to prove you, to humble you. Won't you be my church in the wilderness? He says, I'm service in your heart. Because many of us, sometimes we think we pinpoint our fears, we pinpoint our anxiety, and what makes us afraid. But God says, no, you haven't seen fear yet. Because we need to know all the lights that Amorites and Jebusites, all of those lights, they got afraid, they got scared. Y'all remember way back in the days of Joseph, when they threw him in the pit and they ripped him off his coat? Who did they sell him to? Wasn't that the Ishmaelites? Remember the Ishmaelites, the son of Ishmael, with Hagar? And Abraham had a son that was not Isaac, not the promised son, and something that God did not come birth into the earth realm, was birthed into the earth realm, and the Ishmaelites came and said, oh, brother, glory to God, it was family against family, because when God does not ordain it, when God does not sanction it, when God does not commission it, sometimes we run out of it, but God wants to birth, and he wants to birth in the earth realm. And he told Pharaoh, let my people go, because I want them to worship me. And he described the land that they had to go to, but he found them not to be faithful anyway. He found them not to be faithful anyway. And sometimes I look back over my life when I was on my mom's floor before I got to the things of God. And then I moved to the apartment, and then I moved with my wife to the garden apartment, and then we built the home that we're still living in. Those were my moves. That was my choice. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we got to understand that we're moving, and some of our movement is not our movement. Glory be to God. We're going through things that we have to do instead of the things that we want to do. Amen. And I never forget my mother, my wife and I would joke with each other. Because as a child, she moved a lot. When I was a child, I remember two or three residents. That's elementary school, that's high school, that's college. Because my mother, Lord be God, just knew something about that, that foundational thing. And I walked to Central High School. I walked so far, and we moved my senior year. And I thank the principal. Oh, I still want to go to Central High School. I need to graduate from my classmates. I want to go to Central. I want to go to fast forward. I walked, and I'll never forget it. I walked every day through the cold because it was that important to me. And as you go through your dreams, as you go through your promises, as you go through the things that God has shown you to fulfill your purpose, get ready for opposition. That's why we gotta let God, glory be to God, be the change out of our character. I was reflecting. I'm just testifying right now. Over my Christian walk, and yet I have obtained some stuff. I have accumulated some stuff. I have got some things just out of the believer. But church, I'm more proud of what God has for me in God. The stuff that you didn't put your hands on, the things that you didn't put a price on, he gave me integrity when I did not have integrity. He had me to anything, anywhere, in the building. He gave me some of us a burning heart. So we never had it. We never got the one to play around with. We knew that angry, naked spirit. And God brought it in the softness of the heart. In the name of Jesus, God gave us a new heart, a heart of flesh, because he knew the reason why we were so angry. Amen, somebody. He knew the reason why we didn't get so righteous or nothing all at anyone. He knew the reason why we had bitterness in our heart. And then God said, I'm getting ahead of myself. Glory to God. We don't want to have a church tonight. God is doing something new. God is doing something new. That's why the power of worship says this. God, when I worship you, I'm opening the door to so many blessings that are endless. They're limitless. And I worship God. That same happening. We will in God as we did in our fire. We will be the enemies that we cannot see. Glory to God. When we worship God, he's doing stuff. He's starting to stuff. And there's a lot of moving parts all of our lives. We got a career. We got a relationship. Glory to God. We got so many things going on. But when we worship God, he's having stuff we're not thinking about. Glory to God. And I know the folks I think to a sheep. And every time I set a personal goal, one of my prayers is, God, does this line up with what you want from me? They used to come at me real hard to get fed to manage. But for some reason, I just kept saying, no, no, thank you. I don't want to manage the program. I just don't want to do that. I'm not living that direction. Yes, it pays well. Yes, it can get me away from such things. But guess what? For a good time. God knows what we need and when we need.
Yeah.
And that season, the money might have been better for me, but the marriage was over. The kids might have suffered. Amen to God. My marriage in that season could not take the demand of two jobs and kind of hours and kind of work that I needed to put it in that season. And God, in that season, gave me the wisdom because I was a worshiper to say no to a good opportunity, but it was not a valid opportunity.
Amen. Amen.
And when we looked at Deuteronomy, they were disobedient. Some of them got in the wilderness, they never got a chance to change their address. They never got a chance to move forward. And he told them why he wasn't about this, why he wasn't about to the wilderness. And God is saying sometimes when we're being tested. Matter of fact, turn it right now. Isaiah 43. Just say to yourself right now, it's just a test.
Yes.
It's just a test, church. There's so many tests as believers that put out all the path before we get to heaven. There's so many tests that come our way because God wants to test us and approve us, not just in the wilderness, but he wants to test us and approve us in so many areas. But watch how God works. Isaiah number 43, verse number 2. Isaiah number 43, verse number 2. Isaiah 43, verse number 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flames remain or kindle upon you. Verse number 18 and 19. Remember you. Not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. God is saying, I don't know if you're in the fire right now. I don't know if you're in the storm right now. I don't know where you are in life, but I've seen good and bad, the water and fire. Glory be to God. God is going to be a good thing. Can I say that? Amen. We can cook with fire. We may not live with it, and we can cook with fire, and we can even put something wonderful and good in our stomach. Winter is coming, and we have work to be. When that happens, hit that point. It won't be my family. So fire can be a good thing. Amen. Fire can be fine. Like a water and diamond. It goes through a fiery drought, and then you get beautiful gold, and you get beautiful diamond. But it's not going to be fine and fine. And sometimes God is doing our character. It's painful what we go through. It is hard what we go through. But when you know this is fire, I'm working on your attitude. When you know this is fire, I'm working on your fear. When you know this is fire, I'm working on the things that always made you stop. When you get to a certain point, you're going to put the fire, but I'm going to have to you want to put it. Yes, God, it is destructive. It says, Solomon, and Solomon the Lord, he said, in the book of Revelation, it said that the second earth will be destroyed, hallelujah, with fire coming from heaven, and God is going to destroy the earth, and you know, the new earth is going to rise up. So a body can be destructive, but a body can be a good thing. And boy, let's talk about water for a minute. We talk about the living waters on Sunday. He gives us living waters. Spring out by 12 of living waters. That's why the dead are coming alive back in your life. Oh, give God an amen and somebody on the back. Give God an amen. They know your dream is dead. They know your goal is dead. They know your desire and your ambition is dead. And God is bringing it up again. Get that dream up. Get that dream up. You're bringing it up because it is a new thing. Of all eyes of new things. Do you not perceive it? Now is the time to start that business. Now is the time to go to that promise. Now is the time to step up and go for order. I'm doing a new thing because you're thinking about it. And it is not turning you up. You give me the water and you get down proud. But the reason I'm proud, I love it. I love it. Because the enemy gives you got you when you're going to the promise. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They took a tension. They went to the promise and they complained instead of praising. That's what was the problem of worship tonight. When you go through the body, I take you worship God. Hallelujah. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is it king? I don't know. Is it part of a run of God? But one thing we do know, we're not going to have to have with your God ever, ever, ever. We're not going to worship your God ever, never, ever. We're not going to come and honor your God never, ever, ever. But we're going to worship our God. And when they were coming to the Father, what would be my God? It said they came out, they could smell like smoke. Oh, hallelujah, glory be to God. My chief doctor said, my wife walked around and she talked about our faith this week. When I came out of that thing and said to me, he said, you just don't look like a physical. You don't look like somebody that can't do major surgery. God damn me, I'm going to hit it. We had a vision that we had that the Father's never going to make a mistake. I'm not going to be responding in the right way, but the God of you don't live by that person, you just speak to you. Just God, pray, and that's you. It ain't just a pastor, it ain't just me. You not walk through some stuff, you not going to do some stuff, you not going to do some trial, and you still don't look like what you've been through. You look good. You look great. You look beautiful. You look awesome. You look fantastic. And he says, behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive? When you're going after something different, accept resistance. I never forget my wife and I, one of our first days, we went to see the New Jersey Nets over at Burnsboro Arena. And we driving and we went to 659 after the game about 1-2 in the morning. The low zero level, freezing. And we driving ahead of a battery. And we hit a pothole, bam, flat. I'm like, oh, man, I'm right upstairs. God is there, Chance Carl. Not a mile down the road, hit another pothole. Bam! The winner missed it on the spec. Two flat within 5 minutes in 1 hour. Not a coincidence. But God was trying to show me something. Because I was already a worshiper. I was already a priest. It's one of our first days. And I'm trying to impress her, and I'm jacking the car up. She's like, hold on, you're about to step out. I'm trying to give you a hand, y'all. You ain't got to step out. I'm going to jack you in the car up. I'm out there, so I'm jacking the car up. And my wife waiting for me to the car. Know that he's jacking the ship. And I know that I haven't known you too long to know that it ain't going to be out of vehicle. It's not safe to be in the vehicle. And I have to jack it up with you in it. But I'm trying to impress this young lady I'm interested in. And I jack that car up. And we get two flats in one night. And God is trying to show me something about the wilderness experience. We out there, when the first cell phone came out, 1997, we ain't had no cell phone, had beepers. Anybody remember beepers? Y'all remember beepers, y'all talking about? Beepers had beepers. And we're stranded, and had to wait now. All of a sudden, soft, green, ugly van, beat up van, y'all. and a whole handful of Caucasian brothers. And who did I say, I look like I got in a lot of trouble. And yeah, they helped me go to Jersey City. We drove around for, I don't know how long, it was a long time. I found a 24-hour tire spot. They brought the tire back, fixed my car, got me back on the road, and just said this. Whatever you do, remember this night, that some white people helped you in your life. And if it ever happened to you, don't look at race, don't look at color, don't look at gender, don't look at your neighborhood, or remember the good deed that we did to you. Was that not angels on the wind? Was that not angels sent from God? Was God going to be a powerful lesson? He was a pastor, he was a man on the field of the time. I have no idea how it is a great thing to remember. Tell me about the way that they went. Somebody needs to know that better is coming. You need to know that better is coming. Exodus 23:20. He let no cloud by day, pillar cloudy by night. And then he takes it one step further, gives them the best GPS journey they could possibly have in that day. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel, mine has a capital A. Some saying that significance of Jesus appearing to them. Before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared for you. We saw reading back in Deuteronomy that land that he had prepared for them, he had a lot of goodies waiting for them. Verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. We have to know and please his God on this statement on tonight. We got to know that sometimes God will overrule and override our bad decision making. Because we're human. And it's going to be periods and seasons and times in our life where we're going to do something just flat out dumb, stupid, foolish, and not going to be a wise decision. And there's a grace, there's a mercy, there's a favor waiting for you. God will overlook it, God will override it, God will fix it, God will come and remedy it, God will give you an answer to it, but that's not how God wants to operate in the relationship. God says, if you like wisdom, come to me. When you worship me, there's certain knowledge, there's certain revelations, there's certain things I'm just going to drop down to like a computer, just on worship alone. But there's got to be also some specific prayers. God, I'm getting called from the school. Give me wisdom. Boom. God, give me wisdom. God, my marriage is going through. I don't have wisdom because it's getting worse. God, I'll give you wisdom. I'm still in debt. I still have not moved out. I'm still in the same place that I don't want to be. God, please, I'm asking for revelation and asking for wisdom. Give me knowledge and understanding. Here we come because you're specific and you're not being open-minded. You're not asking in faith. Here comes wisdom. And on top of that, he gives us the Proverbs. That's what we ask for. 31 chapters of Proverbs. A lot of times, I heard y'all old things say this and it broke my heart, guys. It's just sometimes out of high school, 50% of people never read an entire book again. I'm a book. And we outside of the Bible, outside of the spiritual stuff, there are many resources in our world. And if you read them, trust me, it will help you and it will change your life. I read the book by Sidney Poitier, Steve Harvey, Jimmy Jett, Joseph. I read some books. Is it 13, Al Bernard? I just read a book. One of them was a woman from a man. And there's certain things that stick with me. Get out of the word. But if you ever come out of these books, that simply means If we understand the power of worship, we worship in God, we love in God, we're excited about the things of God, we're honoring God, but we hook up with an unbelief in studying God, you can't love about God, not trying to worship God, not going to give money to that God. And just trying to make that work in all equally yoke, you can't really worship Him at a maximum capacity. Amen. I thank God over 25 years of all being together, we have strengthened one another, iron sharpens iron. And thank God, now all of our kids are saved, so guess what? God is an offspring. If you read Malachi and Malachi, he said, why bring them together for God's kids? It's not like that. Trust me, I came from the world. It's not like we're going to do this overnight, it's a process. I'm just preaching truth from the process. We get the bar for God's sake. We can have these two worshipers that are talking about right now. We get the bar if you want to get my own worship. Come on, somebody. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Because God brought us out to bring us in. God brought you out to bring you in. I'm going to give you four promises, and we're going to visit a scripture before we wrap up. And I visited last time she saw it, and it stuck with me ever since she read it. So the chief cornerstone, and how we are chosen of God. Come on, somebody. Verse number 24. You said not that I'm not today, God. The point I'm trying to make before I got off track is that it was so serious for God and His people not to marry outside of their people. There was one time, I think it was in the book of Gideon, where God chose to spare to the woman and to God because there was a curse put on God's people because He went out and got an outsider from another tribe, brought this woman into the tribe, God sent the curse, and God who died, and then God got a spear, and said, you that old, bring a curse on all of us, and the Bible says He drove through the both of them, and God blessed him and his household for generations to come, because he had a deal for the things of God. And God had to bring passion back to his believers, passion back to the Christians, passion back to those that say they love Him, and sometimes we have this casual walk with God, and it's breaking His heart. But when you understand the power of worship, when you worship God, He downloads the hunger, He downloads the thirst, there's a desire that you did not have, there's a longing for the things of God that was not there. When you worship God in spite of what you're walking through, that's why so many people in the world, they're watching women at football, they'll bring up for 6 months of football, and I love football, they'll bring up the next season of Empire and Greeley and all the reality stuff, they'll have Sunday night, HBO, Showtime, they'll have the whole season lined up, and God said all that stuff will take my worship, and I want my chosen to worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm not telling you you can't have fun. I'm not telling you you can't watch movies and have a little R&R, but God will worship you and will worship Him in truth and in spirit. He says, don't worship in God, don't serve Him, don't go after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their images down. God said, not only go over and worship them, I'm calling for you Christians to tear down the ungodly things and the false gods of this world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. It's the God in me. It's the God in you. It's Christ in me. Christ in you, the whole world. I'm trying to be happy with that right there. It's Christ in me. Christ in you. The hope of glory. When you bring life into a godly situation, the devil is in life. You bring bringing life into a godly situation. My knees were on my Facebook, and it broke my heart. In the name of Jesus, the devil is in life. I pray, Christ in upon human beings, upon your children, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on with the blood. My sister's daughter, my niece's daughter, was trying to get a penalty as they're going to school. Somebody held her up at gunpoint. I see that they're going to school, and she had no sense to get and jump out of the car. The devil was in charge. We live in the day with the pedophile, the perpetrator, and I'm down. Please, over here for Jesus. I thank God for my niece's daughter. I have no sense to get out of that car. I'm going to stop crying.
Take the high blood pressure away. Take the mind of the heart disease.
the power of worship. I pay away the sin from the midst of you. I'll reclaim the child of us. I'll just come back. Come on, somebody. Let me get to this last scripture. Thank God for doctors, thank God for medicine, but I thank God for healing. I said he's a healer. Yeah. He is a deliverer. He will restore. He will restore.
Yeah.
Thank you for healing our bodies on tonight. Glory. Thank you for healing our bodies in this moment. Thank you for healing our bodies in this moment. I'm going to say it one more time. Thank you for healing our bodies in this moment that we're living right now. Not tomorrow, but now. In the name of Jesus. Glory to you. You know, let me see something. That's how I might need to use scripture. But go to John chapter 4. Power of worship. You already talked about last year. I mean, you did tonight. So that said, he healed us right now. He said, go to the Son. Show them that they shall see you. That is the word. Show them the scripture which you just talked about. Come on, somebody. John 4, verse number 43. Thank you. John chapter 4, verse number 46. I'll show you. Verse number 46. The reason I say you're healed right now. So Jesus came into the kingdom of Galilee where he made the water into wine. That was the first word. And there was a certain noble man whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus would come out of Judea into Galilee, he went into him. And he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or my child will die. Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your son lives. And the man believed the word. Say he believed the word. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down and going back home, his servant came to him. And they told him, saying, your son is alive. He lives. Verse number 42, 52. Then he inquired, he of them, the hour or the moment when he began to admit or to be better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the Father knew that it was at the same time or the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believed and his whole house. This was again the second miracle that Jesus did. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to finalize the power of worship. You got it when you believed it. You were healed when you believed it. You prospered when you believed it. The business back into the hall and usher back the things in place, doing things decently and in order. So God, we know that power in praise. We know that power in prayer. But God, sometimes worship is overlooked. We know you want us to worship you. But our lives are so filled with so many things. We're pulled in so many directions. We're so distracted by so many things. But God, help our faith to be focused on tonight. We pray for a focused faith like a laser beam. Like a laser. That we can focus on our faith and not let the cares of this world take anything away from our worship. God, I thank you that I'm a worshiper. My wife's a worshiper. We have a church full of worshipers. That's what miracles happen in the middle of. That's the sign when the miracles show up, when you have a church full of worshiping, praising people. And that's the kind of church we want, that's the kind of church we have. And we thank you for it. Now, God, we return home as your angel watch over my niece. Thank God she was not adopted. God, I pray for her mindset right now that you would give the psychological help that she's going to need. And protect all our children this school year. College, elementary, daycare. Protect our kids, God, because they can't protect themselves. So we pray for all children everywhere. So God, have mercy. And thank you for allowing us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand of praise to God who all glory. To God who all glory. So important worship. Do you have anything, Pastor? You can just leave your offering, his benediction. Now in the name of his people, calling the Almighty God, power, mercy, and authority, given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go in peace and serve the Lord. If you want to leave an offering, you can drop it right in the basket. We thank God for it and thank God for you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.